The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
DJ Kevin Stanfield on the ones and twos this evening on the Federal Football Report. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. You know why we're playing that song. Kevin, why we're playing that song?
There's no time for losers. No time for losers. We are, of the four teams in NFC East, we are the champions.
Maybe not of the world, but of the NFC East. But we get the point, right? Yeah. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. This is uncharted territory, by the way, for the show. Now, not uncharted territory in the fact that it's just another useless December football game for the Redskins, but uncharted that it's useless because the Skins have already won the East. And this game against Dallas doesn't mean anything. And the Redskins have already clinched the East. They're already champions of the East. Headed home for a home playoff game, but got to go to Dallas to wrap up the season, and then hosting a home playoff game. We'll see next week who that opponent will be. Could be Green Bay, could be Seattle, could be Atlanta. Who knows? But it's a playoff game for the home team.
I'm going on record right now saying we want Seattle. We want Seattle.
Are you trying? You're trying to relive some of that RFK Dallas stuff.
Here's what we do: we want all the Burgundy and Gold fans fly to Texas State, whatever they call it, RFK South, whatever they call it down there in Dallas, Jerry World. We want them all to come up there, shake the stadium, shouting, "We want Seattle! We want Seattle!" That's right. Because
now, is this some payback that you want for those playoff losses at the hands of Seattle?
That's what fandom is all about. We want payback because Seattle has beaten the Burgundy and Gold three straight times in the playoffs and started the demise of what was for the first time in years a championship team around here. Right with the debacle in the first half.
One would forecast a championship team, but we're not really sure whether that would be
closest
one or
thing
not.
We had in quite a while, right? Closest thing we had.
But you can look at the bright side and say, well, that also started what is also known as Captain Kirk's rise to fame.
Yeah, that's true.
Because had not been for that Seattle loss here at FedEx in 2012, and RG3 getting hurt, Kirk might not have had a shot.
Well, I don't remember the complete details, but I think Captain Kirk was handed that game with a 14-point lead.
And lost it.
Yeah, and lost it. Right, you know. But it wasn't all Captain Kirk's fault. They couldn't stop beast mode. There's a lot of things happening now. Now, they have been an improvement over this team, and you got to give this team credit, man. You got to give Scott McLuhan and until lesser extent, Jay Gruden, and to a larger extent, Dan Snyder.
Right.
Dan Snyder, he succumbed to the cries of the masses and said, "Get us a football guy in here. Somebody can get some personnel." And he's done just that. He gave us a fighting chance to win.
Right. Well, you know what? When you talk about personnel, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, a couple hours ago, it's not even personnel in light of who we saw starting the season, because there were tons of frustration, especially on defense with some of the guys that were out there. I mean, you look at the linebacker core. But then later on in the season, when you saw guys go down, and you've made this statement, I mean, it seemed like week after week after week after week, from week 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, you want to see guys out there that's going to fly around the ball, guys that seem hungry to win. And it wasn't until some guys started getting injured that you saw some of these guys come out who no one's ever heard of.
Right.
And these guys wanted to win, and you saw guys playing with all their heart and playing and believing it all on the field. And that is a testament, I think, to like you said, to GM, to recruiting, to getting guys here and bringing guys in who can play. And you saw next man up. And it begs the question, if it took guys to get hurt to get on the field to see the other, how come the coaches didn't see this in practice?
Yeah, I cannot understand that, especially because there's probably so many of them, they can't see
so many coaches
through each other.
Yeah, like 24. Four of them,
it's
right?
26, actually. And they can't see, you know, the guy in the back said, somebody boost me, let me see what's happening out there in the field. I think that guy can play, but I'm not exactly sure. Well, you got to give it to, like I said, give it to Scott, because Scott is the master shopper. He gets all the ingredients. He goes to the store, gets you know, all the vegetables, all the meats, all the starches, gets it all together, puts it in the kitchen, and tells these master chefs, all 26 of them, I got the ingredients. Make me a cake. Make me a dinner. Make me a gourmet meal. You know what? It doesn't even have to start out as a gourmet meal. Just make me something to eat. Mm-hmm. Make me something mm-hmm. palatable.
Right? No, absolutely. And here's one thing that gets me upset. I mean, look, every single division has down years. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just a couple of years. Look, right now, most people would say the NFC West is the strongest division. At least the last couple of years, they've been the strongest division when San Francisco was strong. I mean, the last couple of years, Arizona's been strong. Seattle's strong. But maybe 3 to 4 years ago, that their champion made the playoffs with a 7-9 record.
That's right.
And so every division has their down years, but someone still has to win it. And so to sit here and say, you know, well, the Redskins won, but it's only because the East is weak. You know, who cares? Someone had to win the East. They won the East. And so you turn on ESPN, you listen to Fox Sports, and you listen to all these people on the radio. You know, they're not getting good analysis like you get here on the Federal Football Report.
That's right.
You know, every single division has down years, and still someone has to win it. And so you hear all these folks not giving the Redskins their credit, because here's the thing: even if the East were to have a down year, no one forecasted the Redskins winning the East, even if it was a down year for the East. And so they play the schedule, they play the competition that's given to them. And here's what should be noted: that even with an 8-7 record, I believe that all the Redskins' wins this year, all 8, has come against teams with sub 500 wins. That means you're beating teams that have losing records.
Right.
Meaning you're better than these teams who have these losing records. One loss against a team with a losing record in Dallas. But still, you can avenge that loss this upcoming weekend. But they're beating the teams that they should beat. And so, like we said in the beginning of this year, and seemingly like every single week until we saw like the playoffs, like a light in the tunnel, like, wait a minute, this team could win the division, that all you wanted to see this year was progress.
Yes.
You wanted to see the offensive line play better than they've played the last 2 years. You wanted to see some kind of consistency at the quarterback position. You wanted to see Jordan Reed stay healthy. You wanted to see DeSean Jackson get on the field to see what Kirk Cousins can do. You wanted to see the defense play better. And that's exactly what you got. And what that got you in a down year in the East is an NFC East title.
You know, if you're talking about weak divisions, look at what the Patriots have been doing for the past 10 years.
Because I don't think the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills have actually been world beaters.
Right. You've given the Patriots like 6 wins every year, right? You just handed it to them, right? Every single year. So, yeah. Yeah, we don't ask how. We don't ask who. We just care that our record is better than the rest of those guys. And as it stands right now, if you look at the standings, they probably have either a Y or X or something beside an asterisk, and you look at the bottom and says clinch division. Right? That's where we are right now.
With 1 week to go.
Right.
No drama in Dallas. No, doesn't matter what happens with Philadelphia and the Giants. The Redskins clinch with their win over the Eagles.
Now, you know, we got to talk about this game. Later on, we're going to have to talk about the future opponent, the possible playoff opponents, right? You know, I've stated my preference. I want Seattle. But, you know, it's still up in the air right now. And we'll have to wait until next Sunday to find out exactly, you know, who's coming to town and when they're coming to town, because it could be a Saturday game or it could be a Sunday game. But we can't, you know, go too far, too fast. We got to talk about this Eagles game.
Oh, because Saturday game. You know, my wife has a birthday party Saturday evening. And,
oh, yeah?
Well, there better be a television somewhere there. But you know what? Just one more thing about this weak division stuff. So the winner of the AFC South, by the way, is going to be 8-8. Skins have a chance. You beat the Cowboys, you're 9-7.
Right.
No one's talking about how weak that division is, right? If the Texans, they could be 9-7 to win, but the Colts, 7-8, they could still win the division. It's all up for grabs. And so you've got weakness all over the place, but yet people, you still want to talk all this, oh, the division's so weak. You know, enough with that. You know, whoever gets in the playoffs.
You know, this is a down year for football in general because of, I attribute it to this new trend of Madden offensive philosophy. By Madden, I don't mean the coach. I mean the video game, where all of a sudden, 3rd and 2 is a shotgun situation. That if your quarterback isn't passing 35 times a game, then your offense isn't being productive. The copycat trying to mimic the New England Patriots' success without trying to make the New England cake without the New England ingredients, right? And everybody can't do it, and everybody's trying to do it, and that's why I think we're seeing a down year, not just just in the NFC East, but around the league, right? You look, there's much more mediocrity than there is success. I mean, you know, there used to be a time you would wait until that last week because teams were battling it out, and the league purposely changed it so that the last game of the season would be divisional games, so it would be like an extra playoff week. But you got a lot of mediocrity right there. There's a lot of mediocre coaching. Chip Kelly, you listening? we're talking about Jason Garrett. You know, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Now, you talk about mediocre and mediocre coaching. I mean, you're talking about Jason Garrett defying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'll see mediocrity next week. How do we address that, man? It's just so much to talk about. We should call so we can get an extra hour for this show, but it's just so much to talk about. You know, do you rest your starters next week? Protect yourself from injury?
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, this is uncharted territory for us. Talking about playoff strategy going into the final week of the season. We don't know what to talk about on the show today. We're just kind of flying by the seat here. Okay. We don't know what to do on the show because it's a playoff show. So we'll slow down. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500, 820 AM. Also online at federalnewsradio.com. And so we're going to do this the best way we know how. Let's just talk about playoff strategy, because of course that does beg the question. You know, who do you play next week? Do you rest your starters? Do you play your backups? Do you want to risk injury? And there's several different strategies here. You and I were talking about this a little bit before the show as well. I can kind of see both ways, but I tell you what, you know, I don't think you rest anybody.
I think
you play everybody. I could see if you were, you know, you're looking at the Patriots record right now. They're 12-3. I could see if you're 12-3. I could see if like the Carolina just lost. I could see if you know for certain what you have. And we're good with what we've got. We're going to rest. We're going to go into this playoff situation, you know, healthy and rested. I understand that. But right now you have a team, again, we said, you know, it doesn't matter how weak a division is, you know, but we're not talking about a 12-3 team here and the difference is, you know, 13-3 or 12-4. We're talking about 9-7, 8-8, you know, as a division winner. And so we're not talking about a team that may, and we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, who exactly know what their identity is, know who they are. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about a team who's on a roll. And so I think that with the type of team the Redskins are, you need to keep that roll going for as long as you can keep it going. And I think you don't want to do anything to slow the momentum or stop the momentum.
Hey, I'll take it a step further than that.
Playing a Dallas Cowboys team who can't seem to beat anybody but the Redskins without Tony Romo.
This team isn't good enough to rest anybody. Okay? This team is a borderline 500 team. Mm-hmm. They're not good enough. Granted, we're the division champions. We are the champions, my friend. But they're not good enough, man. We're not like selling a lot. We don't have a lot of invitations to the Pro Bowl on this team, right? You know? So if you're thinking about it, you should get used to winning, get used to the idea, get that notion in your head that you are a winner every single week, right? If you think that you're good enough that you can just rest some people and be competitive, because I heard a guy say today, a good friend of mine, Doc Walker, right? This was like flying to the moon. Right. You got to go all out, right?
You don't want to stop.
You don't want to stop.
There's no gas stations out in space.
Yeah. Say maybe you'll change your strategy. No. You got to do what it takes to get there, right? You got to make it a complete round trip. So this is what this team has to do. It cannot afford to give everybody a break, right? And I know, you know, and this is what you've been building your depth for. Now, the guys who are starting now who were reserves, that means you have experienced backups now, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Granted, and your offensive line, you got Lichtensteiger coming back after he's missed how many weeks? 5 weeks at least, right? And you know, you had the Rebus holding his own. I mean, Kirk was praying because the snaps were going everywhere. But, you know, you got an experienced backup. You shouldn't change anything. You just build on what you have right now. The addition of Pierre Thomas seems to be masterful.
You know what? That's what's very interesting to me. It seems like the staff is doing everything they can do to just kind of limit Alfred Morris and his touches and what he can do. I mean, even to the point where you're bringing Pierre Thomas as opposed to giving him more carries.
Well, you know, it's not an exact science. You know, you came in with a Alfred Morris was drafted and earned his way as a starting running back on this team in a system that was ideal for his style of running. It was a weight, you know, a influence style.
Kind of a zone
read, influence, plant that foot, cut back against the grain. Perfect for him. Now, you had a regime that came in here that said, That's okay. We're not going to do that anymore. And you know what? There are advantages to that because I always felt guys who were good at that were not good aggressive run blockers. Mm-hmm. When you need a one yard, that one guy I was talking about, you pay $1 million a year, say, give me a yard.
And they can't give you
a yard. Can't give you a yard because they used to go side to side like they're doing the wobble, right? Like we were saying, right?
Like at a Christmas party.
But you know, and you look at Shady McCoy in Buffalo, look at DeMarco Murray in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. right? Frank Gore in Indianapolis. It just doesn't work that way with everybody. And the same for quarterback. So, yeah, I still think, though, that if Alf is your guy, you should stay with Alf and just let that be it. And it's really unfair to Alf to not give him an opportunity to just get into the flow of the game. It's unfair to Matt Jones, who, I don't know, was he hurt last in the Philly game?
So. I think he was hurt with
most everybody's hurt this time of year, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. And then, but like I said, and Chris Thompson, what happened to his game? I mean, he caught a touchdown pass and he just happened to be at the game at the time, right? There is no rhyme or reason, right? The guys that too busy worrying about getting into the game and stuff, and I think they're going to have to settle that down a little bit. But, as far as playoff strategy goes, it would be nice, though, to just have all your second and third string guys come in and beat Dallas. That would be nice, right?
You know, to add insult to injury,
take
huh?
Dallas, like we did with Colt McCoy one time, right? You know, you got to go with what brung you, right? You look at Tom Brady. The only reason Tom Brady got into the game was because because Drew Bledsoe got hurt during the playoff game. He came in through a touchdown pass. He just held place and then earned the starting role, right? Mm-hmm. You remember back when Jeff Hostetler took the Giants to the Super Bowl after Phil Simms got hurt, right? You know, if your starting quarterback can't win a game for it, he doesn't need to be on the team. No, if your backup quarterback, rather.
Yeah. And proof positive of that is the situation we've got coming up with this game against Dallas. You know what I mean? Where you see a team who, after last year's close loss to Green Bay in the second round of the playoffs, had not only winning the NFC East aspirations, but Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah.
And like you said, and then your starting quarterback goes down and you win one game the rest of the way without him. I mean, here's a team who four games with the starter, they're 3-1, and then the rest of the way without him, 1-7, I think, or 1-8, something like that.
Yeah.
That is not professional quality football at the backup quarterback position. And then the panic of three games with Whedon and five with Castle, and, you know, Romo comes back and then Castle and then now Kellen Moore, and none of the guys seem to be any good. It shows you really just how important not only the starting quarterback position is, but the backup quarterback position is, because to even play as a backup in the league, you've got to be an exceptional talent. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to be a starter in the league, you've got to be even better than exceptional talent. But then to be a good starter in the league, you've got to be even more exceptional than just being able to make it in the league.
Well, explain something to me then. The Dallas machine, you know how Dallas invented computerized scouting and such and that. How come the guy that they didn't like, the guy who was an interception away from leading them to a couple of victories, or defense giving up a couple of touchdowns, Brandon Whedon, how come all of a sudden he can go to the Texans and have them a game away from winning their division?
I have my own theories about that. I have my own theories about that. But you point to it, where an interception away from a win there, the defense blowing the Atlanta game with Dallas. It has to do with the coach.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Man.
Let's not forget, Garrett's the same guy who went 8-8 3 years in a row.
It is the only thing they get in common, isn't it? Yeah.
He also went 8-8 3 years in a row. I mean, he's a pretty mediocre coach. But here's what's so interesting. Garrett made his career doing what? Backing up Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You would think that a head coach who made his career as a backup would understand the value of having a quarterback.
You would think that.
A backup quarterback who could play in this league. And yet when Romo went out, by the way, with a collarbone injury. This is his second collarbone injury in his career. Also a quarterback who's over 30 years old and had two back surgeries. You would assume that they would say, we need to make sure that whatever the backup quarterback plan is, that it is secure and safe and we're fine with it. And then to panic that way shows you that they either have no confidence in what they're doing, or they just didn't have any backup plan, which shows the ineptitude of that coaching staff. But I do not want to get on a rant.
Yeah, well, you know what? They, as if this was the Texas
Cowboys football report on Federal News Radio.
Yeah, but you know what? They just don't have the visionary, you know, at the head coach position that we have here in Washington, right? They don't have the guys who can just like pick out talent, who just can go in and say Kirk Cousins is going to be like the MVP of this league, and I'm no matter what he does wrong, I don't care if Kirk takes a knee with 6 seconds left when we could kick a field goal and have a shot at the touchdown.
We're gonna talk about that too,
man. It's just so much. Well, we did like you said, uncharted territory. We don't know what path to take.
Well, I'll tell you what. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then what we'll do, we'll come back and we'll talk about just the game against the Eagles itself. Point out some things that we thought were pretty big in the game, and then we'll also preview the game against the Cowboys. We'll also take a look at some possible playoff opponents. That's right. Playoff opponents for the Washington Redskins. Playoffs already locked up with 1 week left in the season. Another meaningless game, but not meaningless in the way we've been used to. Meaningless because it's already locked up. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to an NFC East champion playoff edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500, 820 AM, and also federalnewsradio.com. That is the website. You can listen to this over and over and over again in case you think you're dreaming. You're not. This is real. Playoffs. You can listen to it over and over again to verify. So, Kevin, look, I like that first segment, man. We just kind of jumped out here and said, look, playoffs. Let's do the show. So there was no form or fashion, no rhyme or reason. We just wanted to come on here and just talk about the Redskins in the playoffs. Now, let's just talk about the game. Against the Eagles. Now, Kevin, with the holiday season, you know, especially around Christmas time, stories and storylines are really, really big around this time. People like to talk about stories towards the night before Christmas and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. Set the scene for us, Christmas story style for us.
Well, it's more like, instead of Christmas, it was more like Snoopy. It was a dark, stormy night, right? Cold night in Philly. It wasn't that cold, though. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, you know, this time of year, you expect, like, the snowball games, you know, torrential rain. It was more like a spring night.
April shower at that night. Yeah.
There were people there, like, not short sleeves, but like maybe hoodies and stuff, right? Nice night in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is in a tumultuous situation as it is because we don't know if they have a head coach that's going to be there next year. He just pretty much destroyed the franchise. We gave him some high hopes, and then pretty much it acted like he thought he had another recruiting class coming in this year. He
just, basically.
Yeah, thought once he'd get rid of his seniors, right, he'd get some freshmen in and listen to him. But he's finding that this is the NFL, and we don't know if he's going to be there. But the Eagles, if you remember, were knocked out of the playoffs by the Burgundy and Gold last year.
Now, before you go on, let me just comment on this, too. It's so tumultuous. Let's not forget that DeMarco Murray, a few weeks ago, after a win against the Patriots, the team won, okay?
Right.
Against the Patriots. He then has a meeting with the owner to discuss how upset he is with how he's being used in the offense after they beat the Patriots and the division is still in reach. Okay.
Well, yeah,
this is how turbulent things are in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
After a win against the Patriots, your star running back, who was supposed to be your star running back, have a meeting, not with the coach, not the running back coach, not the offensive coordinator, not the head coach, not the quarterback, with the owner. Bypasses all those guys, goes straight to the owner and tells him how upset he is with the way he's being used.
Yeah, well, that shows you where they stand right now.
Continue.
We used to do that around here, too.
Oh, you mean players having meetings with the owner?
It didn't work out too well down here,
not
right?
For that guy.
Well, anyway, the boys did pretty well in the first half. They hit Jordan Reed a couple of times early for touchdown. Teams still don't believe that this is really happening with Jordan Reed. I don't understand.
It's like no one knows he plays for this team. Like no one knows who he is. And he's repeatedly in one-on-one situations when he is a clear mismatch for any safety or any linebacker that tries to cover him. But I tell you what, the way the game started, the Eagles did start kind of hot. I mean, they took that first possession, went down the field and scored that touchdown.
Right,
and I don't know if I thought the Eagles were going to win the game, but I thought we were in for a fight.
Yeah, it took a little leadership because this was a playoff situation. But remember how we used to say how Kirk needed to be more in charge? He needed to, like, get an attitude, develop something, right? You know, and then you had the Tampa Bay game. You like that? You like that? Which has become, like, a mantra around
kind
here.
Kind of his thing,
yeah,
right?
But I had to snuck a mic into the huddle one time.
Oh.
And this is what really
I didn't even see you.
Yeah,
okay.
Man, very discreet,
was,
right?
Good.
Very, in clandestine. But this is what the Captain was sounding like.
Captain Kirk! I'm Captain Kirk! I'm Captain Kirk!
Yeah, right? You know, I don't know. The change was amazing in this guy, right? So he let him downfield, and after a 2-minute drive, we didn't know because they didn't use the timeouts right away.
It's kinda weird.
We weren't sure what they were trying to do. But after a personal foul, there was some strange, ridiculous situation that the Philadelphia Eagles caused that stopped the clock and gave the Birmingham goal the ball on the Philly 6-yard line with 6 seconds left. So they were trying to hurry up to the line and spike the ball, but the refs had to stop play because Philly called a timeout.
Yeah. It was really weird because whatever was going on, the clock was still going to run once the refs set the ball.
Right.
And then once that happened, Captain Kirk
then Philly called the timeout, which actually stopped it, which means they weren't
going to do it.
They didn't have to do it.
And
he had a free shot at the end zone.
It was a really weird situation that kind of confused everybody.
The clock isn't running until you snap the ball. You get a free pass, nothing there. Throw it away. You got time for a field goal.
Right. Or just spike the ball and down it to get the field goal.
Right. If you want to do that, but take a shot. You got take a shot. You got Jordan Reed.
No one's been able to stop him all year. Right.
But I guess he was listening to his own press clip. At what point, right there, he went crazy and knelt down.
Maybe we think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe he was so confident in the fact that he's captain because I'm going to make the dumbest play of the game and also make the best plays of the game, and we'll still beat these Eagles by playing.
That could have been it. He could have been saying, we are so good that we don't need to score right here. We'll just score later.
I prefer not to score right now. I prefer to keep you in this game right now to give you hope.
Because all the people out here, it's Christmas time. We don't want to take all the fans.
Merry Christmas, Philly, and then we'll come back and beat you in the second half. But it was really weird. Even my wife, was watching the game, and she, by the way, is this one. She's a Redskin fan, but not like really a Redskin fan. She's a Redskin fan when she's watching the game and when people are talking about it, but she don't care one thing about the team. So anyway, she's watching it, and she says, "That doesn't seem like it was the right thing to do." It's like, you know what? Yeah, you see, exactly right. She knew that it was the wrong thing to do.
You talked to Coach Gruden afterwards. "Oh, Kirk, that was nothing. Kirk can do that type of thing because
He also defended Kirk. What game was that when he said it was a little windy outside?
It was windy out there. Oh, the receiver slipped down when he threw the interception against the Falcons.
Well, the wind and this and that.
But, he's a visionary.
So he's going to defend Kirk, especially when he's winning and he gets to the, But here's a long-term question. And we'll get to the rest of the game, but we go kind of random here sometimes. Here's a good question. Now, this is obviously going to mean, and I think obviously, at least for today, a long-term big contract for Kurt.
Yes.
And maybe even an extension for Gruden. Do you feel comfortable with that?
No.
What I wonder. Do you really feel comfortable? Because again, we are all about perspective here. Because we've always asked after big wins and big losses, what does this mean in the long term of things? Yes, division champions, but we are talking about at best a 9-7 or 8-8 team in a down year for the East. Does a long term big contract for Kirk and maybe an extension for Gruden, does that make you feel comfortable saying, "I'm good with the way this looks for us for the next 5 to 10 years?
I have not seen enough yet. Now, I'm not the football expert. I know more than a lot, not as much as some others, right? But I've seen situations where you look at a guy like Matt Flynn. I believe Matt Flynn, when he was at Green Bay, the record. Yeah, Matt Flynn has the record for most touchdown passes in the game. A similar circumstance where Aaron Rodgers set out because they already clinched early, and Matt Flynn, I believe it was on the Monday Night Football game, threw seven touchdown passes, right? And that earned him a big contract in Seattle when he was properly beaten out by Russell Wilson. Matt Castle, another perfect example. Brady was out
10-6.
I think his hair was messed up or something one game and couldn't play, right?
His knee. He got hurt. I think he injured his knee, right? Was that the first game of the year?
Yes.
Castle came in, went 10-6.
Yes.
Then got a big contract, played in Kansas City and a bunch of other places, and haven't won a game, I don't think, since then.
Yeah. So the stars were aligned for Captain Kirk this year, right? They did. Like you said, people haven't figured out Jordan Reed yet, right?
And, well, let's not forget a similar run with the 2012 Redskins with RG3 making the playoffs. We've seen this happen. Who wasn't optimistic after that? that year, even though the knee injury and things like that. You figure you've got your franchise quarterback. Everyone felt fine about Shanahan at that point. I mean, we questioned whether or not RG3 should have even been in the game after being up those two touchdowns. And so we all questioned that. But you felt comfortable with the coach, felt comfortable with the quarterback for the future. We thought this was RG3's city, RG3's team. It's all good after 2012. Right. But things can turn. And that was a similar team because let's not forget also with that team, I believe they were 3-6 at one point during the year and then ran off all those wins, finished the season 10-6 or maybe it was 9-7 and got into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was 9-7, right.
And that was still having to come down to that last week and needing to beat Dallas because, you know, Dallas obviously, as always, collapsed in December and it opened the door for the Redskins to win the division that year. So similar situation, you know, a few years ago with RG3, the 2012 team. And so, so I think that it is a fair question to say, given the fact that, could be an 8-8 team, could be 9-7, depending on what happened with Dallas. Do you see enough now for that long-term, you know, comfy couch feeling where it's like, I can kick my feet up. I feel good about this quarterback long-term, feel good about this coach long-term, because we felt this way in 2012.
Only if you think that the Cowboys are going to remain where they were this year, if you think that Romo's presence is not going to make a difference, if you think that, only if you think that the Giants won't right that sinking ship, because we don't know what's going to happen up there, if there's going to be a coaching change, because whenever you think the Giants are out, they find a way of coming back, right? If you think the Eagles are, I think, a little bit further away, because they got a big decision.
They have to do a whole lot of restructuring, because they've got, when you look at how bad they've been and you look at all the guys they've got at the running back position, then they've got a guy, Sam Bradford, who I don't think is the quarterback for that system. But then do you still want the coach there, Chip Kelly, who may be the first one out the door? You know, who knows? Yeah. They've got a total kind of reconstruction situation that they've got to do down there, up there in Philadelphia. So.
Plus the RG3 situation, right? They got to do something, right? They got to do something.
You can't keep them on the team, right?
No, there's no way in the world I guess you could.
We thought this, you know, back when they first said Kurt's going to start the whole year, you know, the countdown was on how long before they cut, you know, RG3, or how long before they release him or trade him or something. And the owner seems content to just have him on the roster, whether he's active or inactive or whether he has on pads or he has on a sweatshirt. It seems like Snyder is perfectly fine with paying RG3 to sit there on the bench if the coach doesn't want him to play quarterback.
There has to be a monetary benefit to that. I know, you know, granted, if they just release him, that what they spent for him is just going down the tubes, right? But and I don't know, you know, not being you know who we should get, J.J. Halsell on. He's a salary cap expert, contract expert. We'll see if we can get him on.
We should do that for the final show.
To see what are the benefits of having him on this team other than personally upsetting him, right? Because he's got to.
Because the owner likes looking at him.
But, you know, I want the fans for a second, right, to empathize. Put yourself in RG3's sweatsuit for a second, right? You know, here he was. This team was like 3-80 or something.
I'm saving on the cleaning bill because I don't have to clean his uniform. Anyway, go ahead.
He was 3-80 before he got here, and he gave this team some hope.
And gave the team hope, gave the city hope, gave the fans hope. I mean, there was not a fan in the city. There were a few people, but, you know, I've heard people say Beyonce can't sing, so people are going to hate no matter who you are. Those people are stupid. The girl can sing. If you don't like her, you don't like her, but the girl can sing.
Right.
The dude could play. You know what I mean? And he brought an excitement to the city that I haven't experienced since the early 90s. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so to you know, and if you, and just to suppose you're not a Redskin fan, you know, listen to the show, just suppose you're like, I don't know, a Cowboys fan.
If
there were one in the studio.
Right.
That's a scary feeling. That excitement that RG3 brought to this city and to this team was a scary feeling for those who are not fans of the Redskins and who are rivals of the Redskins. Right. And so you're absolutely right. Go right ahead with what he brought to the city.
Swept the Cowboys when he came as a rookie.
Beat the brakes off Dallas in Dallas, on Thanksgiving national television.
Yeah. But the thing is, the worst thing you can do to any professional athlete is to prevent him from playing. Right, because that's what he felt like he is meant to do. Right, and for whatever reason, they decide they decided that he was not going to play. Now, I was a little concerned because if you look at all the accolades the team is getting and you know, the fact they won the championship, and he's pretty much the forgotten man now, right? It's like there was no appreciation. So I asked a friend of mine who's close to the situation, mm-hmm. how is he doing, man? How is he handling all this? Because it's got to be tough right. because, you know, all these people.
Oh, this is insider information.
Yeah, go this is true. Mm-hmm. You know, inside truth.
You're only going to get this here.
That's right. I asked, I said, how's he doing? And I was quite surprised with the honesty of the answer. He says he's doing about as well as you could expect him to do in this situation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he said he's also a great guy mm-hmm. and a hardworking kid. Because, I mean, and he's going to be all right.
You want to compete. You know what I mean? You want to compete. And look at some level, you know, professional athletes all kind of have ego. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, you even like we talked about, even the backups. You know, you're the best at the best at your job. There's not a lot of positions available for starting quarterback in the league, or even backup quarterback or third string quarterback. There's just, I mean, in the grand scheme of total jobs out there, there's just not a lot of positions open in the NFL. You're not going to open the Washington Post, you know, job position and say, oh, somebody's looking for a third string receiver, I think I'll try out. You know,
right.
It takes a little more skill than just that.
And so
it's hard to be on a team where you were replaced as a quarterback and see this, and you want to be happy for your guys, you want to be happy, but it was just a few months ago where you said, I'm the best quarterback on this team, I'm the best quarterback on this roster, I'm the best quarterback in this league, and you really feel like you are. And then you see this playoff push, and you see the city, you see the team, you see the team kind of circling the wagon around this quarterback, and you're like, hey man, a few years ago that was me,
right? Exactly.
I did the same exact thing, guys, you know. Sure. And you and but it's not but I'm not the guy anymore, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you do that, you're a leader. You're a fiery leader, right? Yeah. You know, if you're the other guy, do it. You're egomaniac. but like I said, we're gonna have to get expert advice to find out what there has to be. Hopefully, there's a financial benefit for them keeping RG3 on this team. But we digress a little bit because we're talking about the game. We got through the first half, and you're just hoping in this case that
it's not a third quarter meltdown. Now, this is the third or fourth week in a row where we've talked about them shaking off, and it might have been since the Jets game, those horrible third quarters the team used to have earlier in the season.
Yeah, and we mentioned earlier the addition of Pierre Thomas was a godsend for this team. Why the Saints didn't think that this guy could still perform? Mm-hmm. The Saints having the problems of their own, right? But again, we said the inconsistency of the play of Alfred Morris, not from a talent viewpoint, but in the way he's being utilized. The continued emergence of Jordan Reed as an all-pro tight end, DeSean Jackson, and he knew. I heard some post-game comments. He said, I knew they weren't going to let me go deep. Mm-hmm. I just knew that for a fact, right?
You know what? Let me just as a side note to this whole DeSean Jackson thing too. It was very interesting. He said something in a post-game interview that I really thought was really kind of smart. You know, they asked him how he felt coming back to Philly. He said, you know, he tried to just kind of play it even, just come up here, get the win for the team or whatever. And then he made a comment, and it seemed as though it almost hurt his feelings to be booed by the fans because he talked about how he loved the city, did a lot of good work for the city, loved the fans, and that it wasn't his decision to leave Philadelphia.
Right.
He was like, I don't know why they're booing me. and it struck me because the reporter didn't ask him about the fans booing him. They just asked him how it was to be back in Philly. And then as he was talking about it, he brought this up. And so it may have, you know, it may have hit him a little bit hard. Like, why are these guys booing me? Like, I did not decide to leave here. And so you could tell it was still on his mind and still on his heart.
Right.
And he's right. Like, I mean, look, Philadelphia fans are cruel. You know, they you know, boo Santa Claus. You know,
that's true.
But DeSean Jackson, you know, brought excitement. It almost reminds me of the whole thing with Donovan McNabb with the Eagles. You know, how they wanted to hurry up. Donovan never had respect since draft day, you know, and he couldn't ever just do enough for the city, couldn't do enough for the team, and he brought them to a Super Bowl, and he brought all this winning ways to Philadelphia when they were in the pits, and they still didn't give the guy any kind of respect. DeSean Jackson gets released. And then there's all these, you know, talks about he's affiliated with the gang and he's blah, 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 blah. All that stuff turned out to be BS. And he gets picked up by another team and they come back to Philadelphia and they boo him as if he's the one who left and he's the one who started rumors about Philadelphia. Like, well, you know, what world do these people live in?
You know, too many people listen to what they hear on other radio shows and news reports. And they're just listening to guys' opinions and not taking the time to develop an opinion of their own. They just go with what they're talking
about. Or just logically thinking things through, you know?
Yeah, right.
He was released by Philadelphia. Right. He did work in the city, you know? You know, it wasn't his decision. The stuff that they said turned out to not be true.
Yeah,
why are we mad at this guy?
That's right. We aren't mad at him. We love him here on the Federal Football Report. Yeah. And, you know, so getting into the second half, Deshaun has some good plays. Pierre Garçon distributing. Kirk's distributing the ball well. He's getting pretty much – a couple of times he held on to the ball too long, like the last guy was accused of doing this year. Morgan Moses was playing through a serious injury, and they were eating him up. But for some reason they decided to switch, kept moving – Philly kept moving the defensive end from side to side, right? They said, okay, we'll go against Trent Williams this time.
You know, okay.
All of which we, as fans, are very appreciative
of. Make it as easy as you can on the line.
And listen, part of the game, I listened to the radio broadcast, and Sonny Jurgensen, God bless his heart, you know, he you know, Sonny's getting up there in age. Sonny had a point he wanted to emphasize through the whole game. Philly makes mistakes, Philly will lose the game. Philly kept making mistakes, man. It's like it was a wet football, but they act like they had never seen a wet football
never
before.
Never played in the rain before, huh, fellas? Never played in no
the
condition.
Scoop by D'Angelo Hall. Yeah, sorry, D'Angelo. I was just so shaken up by the whole thing.
Which turnover from the Eagles you were talking about?
The school when D'Angelo was DeMarco D'Angelo. I was getting confused.
All these D's, right?
It was a bad snap. Quarterback barely had the ball. It was a bad pitch out, and he just dropped the ball. And D'Angelo picked it up. They gave them this game, and we'll take it.
Right,
we'll take it because we've given a couple of games away too. Right,
absolutely.
You know, we'll take it. You know, that's what champions do. Champions win games from lesser opponents. You know, they beat lesser guys, and Philadelphia is obviously
a lesser organization
right now.
And the Washington Redskins beat the Philadelphia Eagles 38-24 to wrap up the NFC East title with one game left to go in the season. We'll come back and preview the Cowboys games. Also, we'll take a look at some of the prospective opponents for the Washington Redskins. Uncharted territories, ladies and gentlemen, on the Federal Football Report. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report. The great thing about the Washington Redskins wrapping up the NFC East and getting into the playoffs a week before the season is over is that we get to do a couple of playoff editions of this fine radio program on 1500 AM, 820 AM, and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're going to preview the Cowboys game coming up and also talk about possible scenarios with
Cowboys game.
Yeah, it is Dallas week. I mean,
the Cowboys.
And what's so interesting is that you know, it's got to be something special if it makes the Cowboys Redskins game pretty irrelevant for the Redskins to where it almost doesn't even feel like Cowboys week because the Cowboys 4-11 with seemingly no direction of where they're going to go without Tony Romo. Who knew that he was that important to the team? You're going to ask certain Cowboys fans. I'm pretty sure that they would be able to tell you. And what's interesting, though, is that when you look at the 2012 Cowboys Redskins season finale, that was important because that decided who was going to go to the playoffs between Dallas and the Redskins. The Redskins ended up winning that game. And then last year, the Redskins were in the Cowboys were in the situation that the Redskins are in right now, where the Cowboys had the NFC East already wrapped up. They were 11-4, and they came to Washington. It was a road game for Dallas, and many thought that maybe they'd rest Romo, maybe they'd rest Murray, who had a lot of carries last season, but they didn't rest anybody, and the Cowboys beat the Redskins in a meaningless game, 44-17, to go 12-4 and 8-0 on road games. And, you know, looking up some of these statistics from last year, they're playing all the highlights, and this doesn't even look like the same Cowboys team from this year. But so now the Redskins are going to Dallas with the East already wrapped up, and we're asking the question: are they going to rest players? What are they going to do? So we're going to preview this game against Dallas.
We want Seattle. You know, here's
nothing
what we
to
need
talk
to do.
About here, ladies
here's
and gentlemen.
Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to do because you can't take this game lightly. It doesn't matter. It's still a division game, and professional athletes have pride. A lot of guys on the team are playing for their jobs next year, wherever it may be. They need to have their last play be their best play because I heard a professional athlete say that's the case because that's what the film that other teams are looking at, other potential employers. They're looking at your last effort, your effort in a meaningless game. Right. See how hard you play. So if the Burgundy and Gold come out of this thing thinking that they're anything less than what, I mean, more than what they are, it's going to be a bad situation. And
no,
they
got to
be very, very careful.
And like we talked about it, with a team in the Redskins situation where, you know, where 9-7 or 8-8 is going to get you in the playoffs, the last thing you want to do is lose momentum. The momentum that you've had for the last few weeks, you want to keep momentum. You want to keep it going. So you want to go to Dallas. You want to go ahead and just put your foot on the neck of the Cowboys while they're down. Kick the horse while it's down.
That's right.
Don't kick the horse while it's
down. That's right.
Keep beating the dead horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make the season end painfully for Dallas and go into the playoffs, you know, winning and feeling confident about what you have. Again, not taking the approach of, oh, we're, you know, a 13-3 team or we're 12-4 team. We're going to relax this week and hit full steam ahead in the playoffs. No, don't do that. Can't afford to do that. Like you said earlier in the show, not good enough to do that or even have that perspective going in. So you've got to go to Dallas and you've got to give it your all, leave it all on the field and try to win this game.
I just had an epiphany.
Which, by the way, as Dallas has shown, it's not going to be that hard to do,
not that hard.
You know, without Romo in there.
It depends. You know, this might be his one shining moment, right? You know, like the NBA. I just had an epiphany, though.
Mm-hmm.
What if the evil Captain Kirk comes up, the one that knelt down on the 6-yard line? I mean, it's the same guy now. It's nothing right. Like, you know.
The same interception throw from a few months ago.
The guy who a year ago this time was the third string quarterback.
All right.
You know, this is the same guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is optimism. But
don't let him play so the bad Kirk doesn't.
No, we gotta ride this wave, but we don't have a choice. Like I said, we're not good enough to rest anybody,
yeah.
Right? But we still want Seattle, right? And real quick, we need to go over some of these playoff scenarios because right now I'm hoping for Seattle.
You may be the only Redskin fan hoping to play Seattle.
Every true fan should want Seattle. You know, we don't want to just be in the playoffs. We want to be the champions. To be the best, you gotta beat the best. So right now, and I thought it was a lock, but right now, the only way they play Seattle would come here. That's if they beat Arizona in Arizona, and Arizona's still playing for home field advantage, right?
They'd much rather have Carolina come to Arizona than Arizona.
Right.
And then remember, also, it'll be interesting if Carolina actually does play Arizona because Carolina beat Arizona last year. Arizona had that great year, but Carson Palmer got hurt, and they were down like their fourth string quarterback.
Exactly.
And could not move the ball on offense. They may want some payback, too.
Yeah, so we don't want that to happen. We want Seattle. But Seattle will have to win, and Green Bay will have to beat Minnesota.
In order for Seattle to play Washington in the first round.
Right. Now, for us to play Green Bay, Minnesota will have to beat Green Bay.
And by us, you mean the Reds.
Yes, right. That's right. We are us, right? That's why we won the Seahawks, right? We are us, right? The Vikings will win the North if Minnesota beats Green Bay. And then the Packers and Seahawks end up tied. Green Bay owns the tiebreaker, and that would make them the fifth seed. And then Green Bay. Now, for Minnesota to come to town, they would have to lose to Green Bay. Seattle would have to lose to Arizona. Then Green Bay would win the North, but the Vikings would be 10-6 and a game ahead of Seattle, which would make Seattle a sixth seed and Minnesota the fifth seed. And then Minnesota would come to town. So
right.
Any of those opponents now are going to present their own unique challenges.
Yeah, they all present their own unique challenges. And it will be interesting to see because, I mean, I think Minnesota seems to be the most winnable game when you look at matchups, although Green Bay's defense doesn't necessarily, you know, make me worry about, you know, being able to score. It's just, you know, you don't never want to bet against, you know, a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know, when playoff time comes or in those clutch situations. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean,
yeah, you got Minnesota, you got Adrian Peterson coming out the backfield, and he's not coming from the shotgun. He's coming right at you.
Right.
Fast and hard, right?
You know. So one way or the other, the playoff picture will get a lot clearer. And Kevin, the season's not over, and we got one more playoff preview show to do. It's a Dallas week. We'll see what happens. Uncharted territory, but hey, we're all game for a meaningless December game because the East is wrapped up. The Redskins is wanted. You're listening to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. He's Kevin Stanford. I'm Claude Jennings. We'll be back next week with another show. And then guess what? Another show the week after that because the Redskins are in the playoffs.
We win Seattle.